Well, Shabbat Shalom on the last day of the feast, the eighth day, I should say, which is very good. Let me start the recording. Yes, I got the microphone on my neck today, so Daniel and family could hear. Let me shrink everything. Okay, and then the study's right.
Down in the corner.
Down in the corner?
Left, towards.
There it is. Okay, we're going to blow the trumpet right now. And here it goes. Hold on one second. Something's happening over here. Uh-oh. Okay.
Tell them to mute their phone if they can.
All right.
Tell them to mute their phone.
Daniel, can you mute your phone? Okay, if you can mute it, because...
I can hear you loud. I don't know what it's new sensor, but we can...
Okay.
I have to know if I don't hear you. I have to keep saying something.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to start the service right now. We're One of Messiah Congregation, where we are recording. And it's Kahal HaBe Mashiach. We're part of the Congregation of Israel, Adat Yisrael. And I want to welcome everyone here, everyone that has, I guess, only people here that are with people with understanding. And today we're trying to connect with people that are 2.5 hours away from us. And I'm happy that the family's there and you guys are here. And the people on the internet. I want to say Shabbat Shalom. Today is the last day of last great day. So we're going to pray and ask God to bless us. Would you mind standing? Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we just thank and praise you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. We come to you, Father, today with an honest heart, pure souls. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that we could be here today. I pray you'll bless and anoint this last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I pray, Lord and God, you'll bless everyone that's here today. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll send your Holy Spirit right through this room. Teach us something new, something we didn't know. Lord, and I pray you'll heal those that need healing, comfort those that need comfort. Lord, we know these things that we go through are just nothing for you. You're the God, and there's none else, and you're very aware of everything. Give us the joy we need, Lord and God, this Simchat Torah, yes. And we just praise and thank you today that we're here and we observe your last Shabbaton, the Sabbath of God, in this the last of the days of the feast in the fall. We give you the praise, Father. Thank you for making this known unto us. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll teach us more and more and keep talking to us and reveal things to us. We just love that in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless everyone. Shabbat Shalom. This is Yisrael, right?
Yes, Shabbat Shalom.
Well, okay, we're starting our service. Can you hear me, Teresa?
I can.
Okay. You can, right?
Yes.
Okay. Today, of course, is the Feast of Tabernacles is now coming to a close. It's closing down. And the Feast of Ingathering is coming to a close. Harvesting is coming to a close. Soon rain. And the next month is called Bul in the Bible. That's 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. And believe it or not, the word Bul actually means rain. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to get all kinds of rain like we always do. And here in America, over here in this Tennessee, we seem to get the same weather as Israel, which is really nice. Just a reminder, there's a possibility that the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, for the eighth month will be Friday night, we think, at the moment. So it starts Friday night, all day Saturday. So it's believe it or not, it's going to might fall on the Sabbath. That's the eighth month of God, okay? Praise the Lord. I'd like to, Israel's watchwords, the rallying cry from all time is this Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'd like to say this all together, if you guys don't mind. You can read that on there, up there. Ready? Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Let's read this next part. And these words which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sit in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Isn't that beautiful? You know, some people in the past, you know, they used to think, wow, that sounds a little overkill. Well, we don't think so. We don't think it's overkill. Okay, I'm going to try to shut the volume off here on this. Yeah, I'll just do that. There you go. Daniel, I'm sure you could still hear me.
Yes.
In Hebrew, it says, Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. It says, Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, V'chal Levavcha, U Lechal Nafshecha, U Vachal Me'odecha. And that's the same thing in Hebrew. I just like that. It's beautiful. Well, you know, it is sad in a way that, you know, the fall feast is over and the holy days. And, of course, rain is going to come. Harvesting is coming to an end. Today, we're still using the Gregorian calendar, unfortunately. October 21st, 2011. And there's the meaning of October. Of course, everyone should know by now, we're in the 22nd day of Ha'ethanim, right? Everybody knows that, I hope. And the word Ethanim is found where? 1 Kings 8:2. You got it. That's important. Memorize that. And the word Ethanim, again, means... Here's what it means. We're going to read this to you. It always has the article, Ha, the definite article. It means the permanent brooks. And that's the name of the month. And I want to go down to here. Not counting the definite article, Ha, the next two letters from the right are Aleph and Tav. If you're looking at the screen right up here, they are the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The Aleph and the Tav, first and the last, forever. Okay? And that's the numerical value of that. And it always comes to 12 or 3. I like to do in the little bit of the numerals, because every letter in Hebrew has a numerical value. The Ha and the Aleph and the Tav are the first and last letters, and the Neem is the Itan, meaning the perpetual, consistent, perennial, ever-flowing streams. He is the living waters. So actually, Ha'etanim, that's been erased, is God, yes. He is the first and the last forever, the living waters. And unfortunately, Judaism uses Tishrei, and America and everybody else uses October. It's ridiculous. And everything of God is erased. It's terrible. And I'm happy God gave me this little ministry. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that's never been discussed or mentioned in your life. These topics have been deleted from your knowledge. You haven't a clue. They are missing. And I hope to undelete them for you, which is really important. For your convenience, and I guess mine too, because I look at it myself, you can actually go to these websites that I've created off my server. You can actually read them, or you could hear them, or you could watch them. Okay? So I try to do it in three different formats, so you can do that. And I also have an MP3 download. You could download the MP3s and put them on your iPad or your MP3 player, if you want. Obviously, I would always love to come to your congregation or your group of people or your whatever, church, synagogue, whatever, prison. Anyone who's interested in the Hebrew roots of your faith, I would love to come there and show people that it's all Jewish. And you had to join the one family and the one body of Messiah. You know, this morning I was doing my study. And at the end of my study, I prayed. I said, God, is there anything I forgot? Anything I forgot to put in the study? And it came right to my mind. Explain the Sabbath again. And I said, explain the Sabbath again? Okay. So I just went there and copied it, and I put it in the study, just to let you know. This wasn't in the study, but I did ask God a question, and that was the first thing that popped into my mind. And I don't think it was the devil. Anyway, praise the Lord, Jehovah. Exodus 20 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you're supposed to labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant. That means your husband, your wife, your grandfather, your grandchildren. I mean, God didn't name every single sibling or every single person in your group. You know, everyone within your gates. So wherever your gates are today, and this has nothing to do if you own it or not, it's wherever you dwell today and tomorrow, everyone is supposed to be keeping the holy Shabbatons. Today is Shabbaton, which is a Sabbath, and I'll show you where it says that too. Very holy. So wherever you dwell, 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, this morning I was reading a little bit of Genesis when God made when he first created everything, he made a firmament and he divided the waters from above the waters down here. And the firmament, he said, he called heaven, which we call the universe. Isn't that amazing? The universe to God is just a firmament, which means a spreading out and stretching of area. And there's water up there somewhere and separated from the waters down here. That's pretty amazing. I was thinking a lot of things this morning I never thought of. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth. Okay, I read that. And then, of course, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as Jehovah thy God had commanded you. Are you okay? Okay. It says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Who? You, your son, your daughter, same thing, your manservant, maidservant, even your animals, your ox, your ass, all these animals outside your, of course, where you dwell, they're all supposed to rest today. Even the stranger, even the unsaved person today that's around your property, the stranger, they're supposed to do it too. You're supposed to command them. Otherwise, tell them to get out of your property or get out of where you live, if you happen to own the place, that is. You know, obviously, you should make preparation beforehand, wherever you're going to go, be with this on the Sabbath, because there's no loopholes or excuses. Everyone's supposed to be keeping it within your gates, okay? Supposed to remember you were a servant in the land of Egypt, which means to us our last life of sin, and Jehovah thy God brought thee out from thence with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. Therefore, Jehovah thy God commands you to keep the Sabbath. And then of Leviticus gives us a little more information. It says, 6 days shall work be done. The seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. There's a little more information. A holy convocation means a sacred gathering. It says you should do no work therein. It says it's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So wherever you dwell, again, I don't know how much clearer you can be than that. Anywhere you go. In the book of Isaiah, it gives us a little more information. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, holy of Jehovah, honorable, and shall honor him. How do you do that? By not doing your own ways today, by not finding your own pleasure today, by not speaking your own words today. And if you do that, then you're going to delight yourself in Jehovah. He'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and he'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Jehovah had spoke that. Okay? So you can actually trust that because God said it. It's very important. And here's another problem. People don't like this one. You can't buy and sell on these holy days. And you can read a whole chapter of 13 of Nehemiah, but Nehemiah makes it very bold stand with the children of Judah, because they fell away from God, and they started buying and selling on the Shabbat. He said, what evil thing is this that you do? You profane the Sabbath day. So we don't want to profane any more than everyone else is profaning it. Isn't that amazing? Remember, the first day is only mentioned two times when they met for a certain event in Acts in the letter to the Corinthians. So, in other words, what I'm trying to get at is the first day of the week never took the place of the Sabbath, and the first day of the week is not a commandment, and that's very important. It never says the first day replaced the seventh day. See these two first days right here? It never says it's a commandment, and it never says that it's took the place. Everybody understand that? Besides that, the word Sabbath is 60 times in the gospel. Gospels and letters, it is used, the word Sabbath. Excuse me one second. I'll be right back. Okay, sorry about that. I'm back. Let's see. I want everyone to remember, of course, you should know today is the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it started, of course, last night. Of course, started last night, Thursday night. I closed my store down at 4 o'clock, came home and got ready. So anyway, again, the Feast of Tabernacles is coming to a close. And the ingathering, the Feast of Ingathering, is coming to a close. Isn't that sad? It's over. You know, there's something in Hebrew called Simchat Torah, which literally means rejoicing in the law and in the Torah in Hebrew. That's what it means. And unfortunately, in Judaism, they made an extra day. They have 9 days. They call the whole day Simchat Torah, which to us, we're always rejoicing. We don't make an extra day. You know, we don't like to make things up. But anyway, that's what, if you ever heard of Simchat Torah, that's what that means. It means rejoicing in the law, the Torah, which we do every day. In Leviticus 23:39, it says, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days, which we did. On the first day shall be a Shabbaton. See, in your Bible it says Sabbath, but in the Hebrew it actually says Shabbaton. And on the eighth day shall be a Shabbaton. I don't even know why they didn't write that down, because they all could read this. It means Sabbath, but the word is Shabbaton there. The eighth day shall be the eighth day shall be a Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation. It's a solemn assembly. And here's the word Shabbaton in Hebrew. Shabbaton, it means a special holy day, a rest, and it means a Sabbath. We had a person last night trying to contend with us that it's not a Sabbath. It is a Sabbath. He doesn't read, and it's very hard to talk to people that don't parse Hebrew, the Hebrew language, or they don't know biblical Hebrew, or they don't know a little bit of Hebrew. It's very hard. Here's the word atzeret in Hebrew, and it actually means an assembly. Today is Shemini Atzeret. Shemini in Hebrew just means eighth, and Atzeret means an actual assemblage. It's a sacred meeting. Supposed to actually, we're doing it. We all got up and came here, right? So we're keeping the Atzeret. Very important. And it goes when you parse Hebrew, it goes down to these three letters, and that's Atzer, which means basically, something is really coming to a close. Something's going to stop. You know, it's something's going to be restrained. And you can read all these words here, but I take it as this is the last holy day of the fall. You know, the fall holy days and feast is over after today at sundown, which probably ends about 6 o'clock. So anyway, that's what all these words are. I just wanted to show you what I do. I show you a little definitions of the word. And it all means it's going to stop. No more for this. It's over. Now, in the past, I brought up the word Chagag, which means to actually move in a circle. That means to march in a sacred procession, to observe a festival, celebrate means to dance, hold, keep, a solemn feast, holy day, dance. So in other words, what we're doing is a chagag, because we do it every year. It's cyclical. Until the Lord comes one day, we'll be with Him. And the word chaka means the same thing, a custom, a manner, an ordinance, a statute. And the word chag is when you parse it down, it's the same thing. It means a holy day, a feast, a solemnity. You know, that's what we're doing. I like doing this, so I get more understanding when I look up words. And you can always go back to these studies and try to sit there in your house and, you know, ponder some of these things, which is really important. The study's not going to be long today, but I do want to show you that, you know, God says in the book of Exodus, He says, "My Sabbaths you shall keep." It is a sign. Notice how He says the word Sabbaths. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, My Sabbaths you shall keep. It's a sign between Me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Jehovah that doth sanctify you." And if you want to also, while I'm talking, you can always go to my website, click on the first page. This study is right there. You can actually read it while I'm talking to you, whoever's listening to me today. Yeah, I'm telling the people on Skype and also Teresa. This way they can always follow it too. It says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall what? Surely be put to death. Whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among this people," which is sort of incredible, don't you think? So if you break the Sabbath, you could actually be put to death. They were, actually. There's no breaks. It says, "6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest." It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. "Holy to Jehovah. Whosoever doth any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death." He says it twice. So that gives me an idea that you shouldn't do anything today, huh? Yes. "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." It is a perpetual covenant. Like a lot of people might go, "Well, I broke the Sabbath so many times in the past and I'm still alive. Ha ha ha." No, no. You didn't come to the knowledge of the truth. But after you're in this congregation for any length of time, you are accountable.
But they're still accountable.
They're still guilty. Absolutely. But now, being here, because it's really brought up, you really have no excuse, even though you never had an excuse. You can't say, "Well, boy, no one ever talked about it." We do. Anyway, look what it says right here. "Wherefore the children of the Israel shall keep the Sabbath." Oh, I read that. "It's for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign." The Sabbath is actually a sign between Me and the children of Israel forever. Forever. "For 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." Notice, it's interesting how He puts that in there, after the Sabbath is a sign. Isn't that interesting? Remember, there's always 6 days of creation. The seventh day is the rest with God. And the eighth day was always the circumcision, that if you had made a covenant with God throughout eternity, you'll be there. And that's what today is like. Today is symbolic of, it's the eighth day. It reminds me of circumcision, that we all spiritually made a covenant with God. And today we would be dwelling with God if He had come back, even though we're here dwelling with God. But it's a eternal covenant, and it's on the eighth day, which to me reminds me of circumcision. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. In Numbers, now this might be a little heavy for you, so get ready. It says, "It is a sign," and it really is a sign. Sabbaths are a sign. Now, if you have your Bible, you go to the book of Numbers, chapter 29, okay? And you can just read these verses with me on the screen here. It says, Numbers 29, verse 12, "On the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no civil work, melechath avodah, and you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. Now, I want you to track the number 7 here. We're talking about the number 7, okay? Sabbath is seven, right? Okay, and this is 7 days. It says on the, it says, it says on the second day you shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot. And then there's information about the third day. And then there's information about the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and the seventh day, right? Now here's my point. And then on the eighth day, there shall be a solemn assembly. You shall do no civil work. So there's actually a total of 70 bullocks, which if you zap off that zero, you have seven, okay? There's a total of 98 lambs of the first year without blemish, a total of 14 rams. So if you take 70 and 98 and 14, you get 182. And guess what? That number is, they're all divisible by the number 7. And the total number of goats for the sin offering, guess what number that was? 7. So God's Sabbaths are a sign. Do you see the sign in this? Also, in all the verses, the meat offerings shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tent deals unto every bullock, and 13 bullocks, 2 tent deals to each ram and 2 rams, and a 7 tent deal to each lamb for 14 lambs. Now everyone reads this and they just get delirious. So one day I was reading it and then I started thinking, hold on a second. 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, 3 tent deals, there's 70 bullocks. So there's 210, there's 2 tent deals times 98 rams, which is 196. And 7 tent deals, 1/10, times 14 lambs is 14. So when you take 210 and 196 and 14, you get 420 tenths or 42. That's how we always do it, which is also divisible by 7. Isn't that weird? And then if you take the 42 and you add them together, you get 6. Which is the 6 days of creation. These are things that I like looking at. I don't know if you followed anything I just read. You can always go back and check my math. You'll see everything is divisible by 7 for some strange reason. Now, I don't know if that's a coincidence or if that's just something God put in there. Like this morning, I was reading about, I'll tell you something I was thinking about. This is just a thought of mine now. I was reading about Adam, Adam, and he said, God said he called their name Adam. So I was thinking how Adam also means mankind. And Adam lived 930 years. So if you take the 9 and the 3 again, you get 12 or 3. But if you take the 12 and you go to another few verses in Genesis where it says the man's going to live 120 years. If you take off that zero, you get the 12 again and the 3. And then if you go to the Jubilees, you get the 6,000 years. 120 times 50 is 6,000. So all this, in other words, God, there's more mysteries in the Word of God than you could imagine and more than I know. I only can bring up whatever God shows me and I think of how like the whole Word of God is mathematical. The whole Word of God is all put together with beyond amazing math. And just all blends. It all works out perfect. God has everything precise. I'm starting to wonder about everyone lived, you know, you would wonder, why did Adam live only 930 years? Why didn't he live 932? But it's 930 because of God said that mankind would be 120 years. And that's what I see. But that's just a thought of mine now, okay? I think of these kind of things. So, beside all the continual burnt offerings and the meat offerings thereof and the drink offerings, they're all divisible by 7 too. Wasn't that strange? Don't you find that a little bit interesting? If all is divisible by 7, let's read John chapter 7. And guess what? In John chapter 7, the word feast is seven times in chapter 7. I don't know if this is all a coincidence, but it just seems too, it's just too much to be a total coincidence. And here we have Yeshua observes the Feast of Tabernacles, which I don't know if any Protestant or Catholic church ever realizes this or talks about it. Probably not, right? So if you go to John chapter 7, we'll read this. It says, after these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. In other words, he wouldn't go around the other Jews that didn't believe because they would kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was at hand. The reason why it says the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles, obviously the Roman Empire wasn't keeping it. I doubt anybody else was keeping it there except for Jews or Gentiles that joined the apostles or Jesus, Yeshua. It says, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Now don't be so surprised in your family, because it says right here, Yeshua's family, neither did his brethren believe in him. These are actually his brothers. These aren't the apostles or something. Then Yeshua said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. In other words, you can always die, but I have to die at a specific time. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not yet up unto the feast, this feast, for my time is not yet full come. So Yeshua is very aware of the Feast of Tabernacles. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he up unto the Feast of Tabernacles, not openly, but as it were in secret. So Yeshua, he wanted to go up there by himself. He didn't want to go up with his brethren because they didn't believe in him anyway. Then the Jews sought him at the Feast of Tabernacles and said, where is he? I'm putting tabernacles in it because I want you to know what feast it is. And there was much murmuring about among the people concerning him. For some said, he's a good man. Others say, nay, but he deceives the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. Isn't that amazing? Right in the midst of the feast. So Yeshua is right there doing it. And he's going up there. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Yeshua answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but it's the Father's that sent me. If any man will do the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks the Father's glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in the Father. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill you? Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses gave you circumcision. Here's the topic of circumcision again. Not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. So they're circumcising a man on the Sabbath day. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? No, it's interesting. They were circumcising people on the Sabbath day when it's supposed to be the eighth day, but it could be the eighth day. The Sabbath day could have been the eighth day in some of the kids, you know, when they were born. But this is very important, this verse right here, that we should always remember. Judge not according to appearance. We don't judge anything according to appearance, but we judge righteous judgment, In other words, we use God's word to judge everything. We don't look at somebody and go, oh, I don't like the way they look or dress, or I don't like their accent, or I don't like their tone. Or no, judge righteously. What are they saying? Don't judge according to appearance, okay? Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he of whom they seek to kill? But lo, he's speaking boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Messiah? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, and when Messiah comes, no man knows whence he is, which is ridiculous. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but the Father that sent me is true, whom you don't even know the Father. But I know the Father, for I am from the Father, and the Father sent me. And they sought to take him, but no man's laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him. This is right at the Feast of Tabernacles in the temple. When Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man does? The Pharisees heard the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Notice how it's always the religious leaders. It's always the Pharisees and the chief priests. It's always the main weasels that want the glory. You know what I mean? Then said Yeshua unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto the Father that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we will not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, the nations, and teach the nations? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? And how about this? Now, Yeshua is there at the last day, the great day of the feast, which we're doing today, which is right now, the eighth day. How about that? It's a Sabbath. And some people were telling us the other day, oh, you can't leave your house on the Sabbath. Well, how come Yeshua left his house and he's in the temple right here on the last day, which is a Shabbaton, a Sabbath, and he stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. So yes, it's okay to, we can move around on the Sabbath, especially if you're going to do something for God. It's a holy convocation. You're supposed to get up and go to the they had the temple. We don't have that. We have our little shul here, our little yeshiva, our little synagogue, house of study. It says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's that living water, ha'etanim. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit Yeshua was talking about on the eighth day, the great day. A lot of people don't even know what this last great, the great day. You ever notice that? It's what we're doing today. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, the one that Moses spoke about. Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, him shall you hear. Others said, this is the Messiah. A lot of people knew it was the Messiah. But of course, there's always the doubters. Some said, shall Messiah come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said that Messiah comes of the seed of David, which he did come from the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem. He was born there, Bethlehem, house of bread, where David was. These people didn't know. Most people that we notice come against us, they know not, they err, know not, the, and they don't know the scriptures. I get emails all the time of people that I could just send those words back to them. You do error, not knowing the scriptures. Because they don't know the... They haven't read the Bible enough to connect a lot of the dots. It says right here, so there was a division among the people because of him. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Because of him, there is a division. And there's always going to be a division. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. Here comes the officers. And they said unto him, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, they said, wait a minute, never man spake like this man. the Pharisees and the chief priests hated that. The Pharisees said, are you deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Yes, Nicodemus. But the people who know the Torah cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, who was one of the Pharisees, he said, wait a second. He came to Yeshua by night, being one of the Pharisees. He said, wait a minute. Does our Torah judge any man or woman before it hears them and knows what they do? Of course not. And they didn't even answer that. They answered and sent him. They didn't answer his question, you notice? They said, wait a minute. Are you from Galilee? Search and look. Out of Galilee arise no prophet. And every man went to his own house. They never even answered Nicodemus's question or statement. Isn't that sick? So remember, Messiah always brings divisions in families, in friends, in peers. All I could say to you is make a stand. And remember, the four holy days and feasts are over starting tonight at sundown. Soon will be rain. You'll see it rain. Bul. And we believe the Rosh Chodesh might start next Friday night, right? So we'll keep checking on that. I hope you got something out of this study. There's actually a lot in this study, even though it's small. There's some math for you to do with all those bullocks and rams and offerings. So I hope you remember that. I hope everybody on Pow Talk got something out of this. So yes, Simcha Torah. This is the last great day. And let's pray and ask God to dismiss us. And I just thank God for new understanding, new words, new wisdom. I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this last great day. Keep giving us more understanding. Keep revealing things to us. Talk to us. Be with us. Bless the rest of this Shabbaton, this Sabbath. And I pray, Lord and God, that you'll convict people that know about this and are not doing it or not doing it properly. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll trouble their hearts wherever they may be. Bless and anoint the rest of this day and all the people here on the phone, on Skype, on Pal Talk, and live. I just praise and thank you. We use all these forums for you, Father God. And we just thank you for your word, Yeshua, that came into this world and died for the sins of the world. And I just praise and thank you for our eternal life. One day we'll be with you. And we wait for you, Lord and God. And we give you the glory today. Bless everything, the food, the singing. Let everything be done to the glory of God and the edifying of the body. We thank you for this understanding that you give us. And that your Sabbaths are a sign. And we focus on your numbers, Father. Number 7, 3, 12. We just concentrate on these numbers, 40 and other numbers. We just give you the glory today in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless everyone, and may God prosper you in spiritually and physically. Amen. Shalom, everyone. And now I'm going to stop the audio. God bless everyone out there. May you listen to the study. I know it's a short study, but it's full of information, believe me. God bless you. Chapter 7, yes, number 7.